Welcome to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Somerset Patriots and New York Yankees prospect coverage. Here are your hosts, Steve Cusumano and Eli Fishman.
Somerset Patriots baseball back on the airwaves as this is the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. Alongside Eli Fishman, I'm Stephen Cusumano as we return for a June edition of the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast about a third the way through the Eastern League season. And as of the time you're hearing this, we're probably about 3 weeks away from the end of the first half as the Patriots go for a second consecutive first half victory after they were reigned Eastern League champions a season ago. Really exciting stuff on hand today. We're going to learn about some new members of the Patriots as of, again, this first week of June. But most importantly, our featured guest on this week's podcast is we're going to have a really great conversation with Grayson Crawford, the Patriots' first-year pitching coach, talking a lot about how he got into baseball, how he got involved with the Yankees organization, and then just some thoughts on a few of the new members of the team. So that conversation to come. First, Eli, hard to believe we're barely a third of the way through the season, and already so many great memories have been made. And full transparency, once again, we are recording this during a battle for first place between the Red Sox affiliate Portland and the Yankees affiliate Somerset. It's had a kind of playoff-type atmosphere and just a lot of momentum building toward the end of the first half here.
This has been a playoff baseball atmosphere at TD Bank Ballpark. It's almost got that vibes of the Hartford series in 2022, where Anthony Volpe hit the home run to solidify Somerset in the first place, clinch the postseason playoff spot with the first half championship victory. And this is the last time in the first half of the season that the two top teams in the Sea Dogs and the Patriots are going to see each other. And this is such a pivotal series. If Somerset can win out, they can potentially finish this series half a game out of first place against the Sea Dogs. And Somerset with a tough upcoming schedule, but having beaten the number one team is just such a momentum push with just 3 weeks remaining after this series.
And again, by the time you're listening to this, there's a pretty good chance this series has already wrapped up. So the Patriots came into their series with Portland down by as many as 5.5 games, 3 wins in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're full transparency recording this on Saturday. So the Patriots will have a chance to move to within a half game of first place if all goes right. And then the good news, too, Eli, is that there's only one road trip remaining for the Patriots in the first half of the season. Next week, the week you're probably listening to this, the Patriots are going to be in Hartford from June 6th through the 11th. And then the only two-week homestand of the season closes out the first half. How about that for home field advantage as the Patriots go for their second straight first half division title? That'll be when the Patriots welcome in the Pirates affiliate, Altoona, and then the Blue Jays affiliate in New Hampshire. More on that as we get later into the month, but first, a couple of housekeeping things. Going to talk about some Patriots who have moved on and gone on to bigger and better things in AAA, and then some others who are new to the team and are really exciting players that we're getting a chance to see up close and personal. So I guess just we got to start with Will Warren. He is one of the Yankees' top pitching prospects. A couple of AAA call-ups for the Patriots at this point in the 2023 season. Guys like Carlos Narvaez being sent up, but at the forefront of that list has been the Yankees' number 7 prospect, Will Warren. He had 6 starts in Somerset this year, went 3-0 with a 2.45 ERA, was putting up some of the best numbers in all of the Eastern League, proved himself as a real ace, a guy that, again, you could have argued, and I remember talking about this before, you could have argued he could have started the season in AAA, but so far so good for Will. He's got a couple wins over 3 starts in AAA, a well-deserved call-up, or as we put on Twitter, a Will-deserved call-up for Will Warren, and I'm really excited to see what he continues to do in his professional career.
So much fun to watch over this past season in Somerset. Remember, it was only 8 starts into his career, just around 2 months into his professional baseball career when he was called up to Somerset. He was young, he was hungry to prove himself, a later-round pick, 8th-round pick out of a mid-major school in southeastern Louisiana, and he came in and he opened a lot of eyes immediately, coming down, shutting out opponents in 18 starts last year, 4.02 ERA with 83 strikeouts, and he impressed so much that, as you mentioned, we thought at the beginning of the season, we didn't know if we were going to be seeing Will Warren again, but he came back, he had a lot to prove, and he did just that with the numbers that you mentioned. So great to see someone of Warren's caliber already in AAA. This is only his second full professional baseball season, climbing up the ladder, so fun to see, and so many of those big players from the championship team last year making a big impact, only one call away from the big leagues.
It's been really fun to watch Will Warren over the course of beginning his pro career last year. And like you said, Eli, now he's on the doorstep of a big league call-up. So hopefully all good things to come for Will Warren. He was, again, the big headliner as far as players who have moved on from the Patriots at this point in the season in the beginning of June. But with that has come a lot of new exciting players from the high A level, including a few position players. We're going to talk about Aaron Polensky and Caleb Durbin. First of all, Aaron Polensky, 24-year-old outfielder who was a non-drafted free agent of the Yankees in 2020, made his pro debut in Somerset in 2021, played 37 games for the Patriots, and then got more of a normal assignment last year, spent 77 games in High A Hudson Valley, put up a really good season, an 844 OPS, but he has absolutely torn the cover off the ball this year among the minor league leaders in slugging percentage, OPS. He leads all Yankees minor leaguers in home runs and RBIs, and you can go on down the list. The numbers are going to continue to get a lot better for Aaron Polensky, but a guy that we've gotten a chance to meet this week, and he's very grounded and just excited to be back in kind of a full circle moment that he started his pro career here at TD Bank Ballpark, and he's worked his way back after a call-up to Somerset in the final week of May. And we've seen little glimpses of it here and there, Eli, over this first series with Polensky in the lineup, but cannot wait to see more of him as the season progresses.
And it's got to be so full circle for him, as you mentioned. He was only 1 year out of college baseball in 2021 after he was an undrafted free agent out of the University of Nebraska, and he got his professional career started at the Double-A level. It was kind of that COVID season at the beginning of the year. Yankees were looking to fill some spots, and he showed up enough in spring training at the alternate site at the time down in Tampa in order to get a promotion straight to Double-A, especially in a Yankees system who we can admit has been very conservative with promotions over the last few years. They put Polensky in Double-A. They challenged him, and he was able to compete, a 216 average with 24 hits, 2 homers, and 14 RBIs in 37 games played. He held his own, earned himself a starting spot in High A last year. That's just as impressive, earning that spot in High A really in his first full season of his career, and then performed very well down in Hudson Valley with a 251 average in 77 games with 10 homers. And man, what he has done this season has just been insane. Coming into this year, he was kind of one of those underrated prospects. We mentioned the numbers. He's been challenged throughout his career, but nothing necessarily jumped out like crazy on the stat sheet. But this year, he's top five in all of minor league baseball in a couple categories. As you mentioned, leads the Yankee system in almost every category. And it's going to be so rewarding for someone like Polensky, under the radar, has grinded, has worked so hard, and initially started his career in Somerset. We're talking about a guy who, less than 3 years ago, was delivering packages for Amazon, and Aaron Polensky working his way all the way back up to Double-A.
That's one third-year player who's been really fun to watch this year. How about another that was joining the Yankees organization this year for the first time, acquired in a trade with the Atlanta Braves during this past offseason in the Lucas Litke trade? Caleb Durbin earned a Triple-A promotion about 3 weeks ago as of the time recording this, and he has turned some major heads over his time with the Yankees organization. At the beginning of this month in June, hit his first Double-A home run, also his first homer as a member of the Yankees organization. It's been so impressive to watch, an OPS over 800, a batting average over 300. That's across just over 40 games at the minor league level between High A Hudson Valley, where he started the year, and Double A Somerset, where he is right now. But most impressively for Caleb, and also, as I mentioned this, we've got a story on SomersetPatriots.com written by our great beat writer, Matt Cardos, about Caleb Durbin, and you can read a little bit more about his background there on SomersetPatriots.com. We also posted it on social media at SOM Patriots on Twitter and Somerset Patriots on Facebook as well. But one of his main tools, and as he kind of called it when we first met him, his unique tool as a batter is his ability to put the ball in play. And right around 150 at-bats this year, he's only struck out 11 times. And again, this is going to be dated based on when you're listening to the podcast, but irregardless, he's played 40 games this year as of the time we're speaking right now. He has the best strikeout-to-walk ratio in all of minor league baseball at just under 2 walks for every strikeout, and his 6.4% strikeout rate is the second best in all the minors. And again, let me say that again, not Double A, not the Eastern League, not the Yankees organization, all minor league players. You're talking thousands of players, and Caleb Durbin has the best strikeout rate and strikeout-to-walk ratio of just about any of them. And oh, by the way, 26 steals this year, that's 10th in all of minor league baseball. He has been a just prolific player to watch, and he's only been here for a couple of weeks, a guy that we can expect to see here in Somerset for a pretty good chunk of time this year, I would think.
And you mentioned the stolen bases, you mentioned the bat, but you didn't mention the power that he's showcased and the defense that he's showcased. Durbin making 2 plays, tweet out by Minor League Baseball. One of them, a diving play at shortstop where he glove flipped the ball to second base and Trey Sweeney for the out, earning the number 9 spot on SportsCenter's top 10 plays of the day only a few days ago. And Durbin has just been such a joy to watch. The speed on the bases is some of the best in all of Minor League Baseball. One of the best defenders at both second base and third base that you'll see anywhere, at any ballpark across the country, gets on base, swipes bases. He's got a .416 on base percentage on the season with a .303 average, and he has just been so fun. You talk about another underrated guy also, because if anyone is a constant listener of the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast or any of our broadcasts, my favorite guys are the underrated guys. Caleb Durbin is listed at 5'6", 175 pounds. He had one offer out of high school, and it was to the Division III University of Washington, St. Louis. Durbin straight balled out, earning himself a draft pick with the Braves, coming over as part of that Lucas Litke deal. He wasn't even the headliner in that trade at the time, with Indigo Diaz going over also in exchange for Lucas Litke, but Durbin has just been so much fun to watch, and he's only a few games into his Somerset career. He's going to keep on growing, and we're going to see him go a lot past Somerset throughout his career.
Yeah, there's a lot to be thrilled about with Caleb Durbin as well as Aaron Pawlenski. Moving over to the pitching side now, because we discussed earlier how we had a great conversation with Patriots first-year pitching coach Grayson Crawford. That's going to come up next, but first, a few new names and some familiar that are going to join the Patriots as of the month of June. Yoendris Gomez, he was so good to end the season last year in Somerset, played a role in a Patriots playoff win in the championship series. He has returned off the 7-day injured list and is a couple starts into his 2023 season, looking as electric as ever. We'll hear more about him from Grayson Crawford. And then also a couple of relievers added to the Patriots bullpen that have been outstanding as well, including Edgar Barkley, who was a 2022 Yankees minor league organizational all-star, a guy who's been really fun to watch, as well as Danny Watson, a guy who earned a save in his second appearance as a Somerset Patriot. He's had a breakout year, an ERA below 1.40 as of the time we're recording this. He's been really exciting to watch already. So it's a Patriots bullpen, Eli, that has struggled at times this year, but they've been so impressive over the past couple of weeks, and this reminds me so much. It was right around this week last year, actually, that Carson Coleman got called up during his breakout season, and look at what he turned into. One of the relievers who had the most saves of any minor league pitcher in 2022, closed out a championship-clinching no-hitter. It has a very similar feel with these guys in Watson and Barkley. And oh, by the way, Yoendris Gomez, who's one of the Yankees' top prospects.
And it definitely does. Tanner Myatt coming over right around that time, too. And look at how dominant he was out of the bullpen for the championship team last year, in addition to Carson Coleman, who turned into one of the top prospects in all of baseball. But Danny Watson, just so much fun to watch coming up from high A. Danny Watson with Hudson Valley this year, a 1.48 ERA over 15 appearances with 39 Ks. And at the time we record this, Watson has not allowed a run over his last 10 games, spanning almost 16 innings, including two appearances at the AA level. Edgar Barkley as well. He was someone who we were expecting to potentially be in the starting rotation or the bullpen of the Somerset Patriots, either at the beginning of this year or late last year. Didn't get up last year, and then had some elbow injuries at the beginning of the year in spring training, which kept him off the Somerset roster. But he's back, and he's going to be making a big impact for this team out of the bullpen. Already, he's been so fun to watch. We talk about one of the best changeups in all of minor league baseball. I know we were, you know, looking at the StatCast and a lot of the numbers and advanced analytics the first time he threw, and the way the changeup just moved, made some insanely silly swings for a few Portland Sea Dogs. There's a lot to look forward to with Edgar Barkley, and rounding it out is Yoendris Gomez. He's been a top 10 prospect in the Yankee system for a few years now, battled with some injuries, but he's been so highly regarded for such good reason, and he hasn't thrown very many innings the last few years, but 3 years ago he was placed on the 40-man roster for the New York Yankees as a 21-year-old, and that tells you how special he is with the arm, and he's been dominant in his limited outings with Somerset so far this season, but as he gets built up, he's going to continue to climb the ladder, and he could shoot up this system.
It's three guys that we've hardly even seen this year, and they've already been so thrilling to watch. And we teased it earlier. Here's our conversation with the Patriots pitching coach Grayson Crawford. Such really great insight about his career, how he got to the Yankees, how he sees the season has gone so far, how he thinks it's going to develop from here, and a couple of his words on some of the new pitchers and arms in the Patriots staff coming into this month of June. So here is that conversation that myself, Steven, and Eli had with the Patriots pitching coach, Grayson Crawford. Our guest on the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast today is the pitching coach of the Patriots for the first year, Grayson Crawford. Thank you for joining myself and Eli. Great to have you. And first and foremost, congrats on what's been a great season so far. I guess starting there, how would you assess the way things have played out so far this year?
I think it's been good. You know, I think each night seems to be a new adventure sometimes. You know, I think we have a lot of guys that are either new to Double A or coming back from injury, or we have a few guys that are kind of veterans, but for the most part, you know, pretty new group overall. So I think each time we go out, you know, we learn something new, and hopefully we get better each time out.
I remember one thing you were talking about was the guys that are coming back from injuries, guys like Justin Wilson that just need some innings, and a couple of the other guys that didn't pitch a lot last year, the year before that. Do you think we're at a point in the year, about 2 months in, where you're starting to see the reflection of that and guys that are maybe settling in a little bit more?
I definitely think so. You know, I mean, I think, you know, with Willie even last night, like it just seems like he's getting a little more comfortable, kind of taking the reins off a little bit as far as, you know, it was a very strict pitch count early. Days rest were very mandated on what he needed. And so now it's a little more just normal for him. And so I think, you know, you're starting to see some of those guys like that are starting to get a little more comfortable, kind of a little bit better idea of, you know, how they want to pitch and how they want to navigate innings and, you know, different things like that.
I want to dive into your career a little bit, and we'll start with the process of coming to the Yankees organization, bouncing around some high school, a few colleges, a lot of mid-major schools. Tell me about that hiring process and what brought you to the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I had no desire, I don't guess, really to do professional baseball at first. Just thought I was going to coach college ball, and just kind of like if you look at the trend that kind of started to happen is more and more college guys started to come to professional baseball. And so worked at Murray State with Joe Migliaccio, our hitting coordinator, and so him and I are really good friends and stayed in touch even after he left. And so just kind of started to hear more about things that were happening in professional baseball, and you know, would that be something that would interest me? And he kind of passed my name along to Sam Breen, our you know director of pitching. And so that process just kind of slowly started to go. And, you know, him and Desi, Joe and Desi worked together, you know, at Iowa. And obviously Desi now with our big league team. And so when Desi was a coordinator here, we started kind of just chatting about some different things. And just kind of one led to another. And the next thing you know, I had two phone conversations with Sam and Desi one day, and I was on a plane to Tampa in 2 days after that, you know. So, I mean, it just kind of, you know, bam, it just happened really quick. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that I saw and is definitely held true for, you know, a year and a half now is, you know, anytime you can work under, you know, Sam Breen and learn the things that I've learned from him is you can't put a dollar on that, you know, for my career. And, you know, obviously, hopefully, wherever it goes from here, we'll definitely be I owe a lot to him for that. That's for sure.
What are some, I guess, particular things maybe you have learned, getting, I guess, into the nitty-gritty a little bit? What have you learned from Sam Breen?
Oh, man, we don't have enough time for that. you know, I think a lot of different things. You know, you can go with analytics. Like, I probably had a pretty good background in analytics. My time at Lipscomb, you know, we were fortunate. We had a good budget. We were able to be very analytically driven and kind of forward thinking with some of those things. So that part was, there was a pretty good background there. Learning more about the body and the delivery, and you know, Sam and Jillian Ware, our, you know, one of our biomechanists, like really just helped me learn more about the body and how the body moves and, you know, things we should do with the delivery. You can start there, and you know, and then just kind of probably just a better understanding of, you know, coaching people. You know, I mean, I think the knowledge obviously continues to grow, but one of Sam's biggest strengths is the ability to just to coach people, you know, in all different backgrounds of life. And obviously in professional baseball, you get people from everywhere, not just geographically, but, you know, whether it be social status or economically or wherever, like they're coming from all different backgrounds of life. And so being able to relate to different people, you know, I think that's been a huge understanding of kind of things that Sam teaches us and how to do.
Players often talk about how it can be a culture shock coming to pro ball, whether that be the analytics, all the different players from different backgrounds. As you mentioned, for you coming to pro ball, whether that be on or off the field, was there a shock to you or an adjustment you feel you had to make?
I think the number of games probably first is a shock. You know, you get a college season's roughly, you know, 65 games, you know, if you're playing good, you know, something like that, and you get to 65 games here and you're like, man, we're not even halfway there, you know? So I think that probably just the length of the season, the length of time, it just takes a little bit of an adjustment. And I was fortunate enough to get to go to AAA last year at the end of the year for a couple of extra weeks. And spend some time there working with some guys, and you know, so the season kind of just kept getting extended a little bit more. But I think it was good. I think it kind of gives you an understanding. But you know, really, other than that, like, you know, baseball is baseball, and you know, I think it's a little more focus on development, whereas maybe in college it's a little more every game is about win right now, you know, and whatever that means, you know, you have to do, you have to do. Whereas maybe here, we definitely want to win every night we go out. I think winning is still important. However, you know, development definitely takes a front seat.
And going back to, I guess, coming from that college background, as often as you were there, I remember you telling me earlier this year that it kind of helps you relate a little more, resonate a little more with some of our similar age pitchers, guys like Richard Fitz and Will Warren, who's obviously been promoted since then. Do you feel that coming from a similar background at the same time that they were coming up too, that that kind of gives you an edge in terms of communicating things to them at this point?
I think so. You know, I think you kind of have an idea, and I think you learn how to, you kind of learn how to talk to each guy, and you know, and you kind of understand the way that they're really expecting you to kind of coach them, you know, and I think, you know, that was good last year, you know, kind of in Tampa. I think you get a wide range of people, and you get a wide range of, you know, players from all different, you know, all different backgrounds. And so, you know, definitely coming here, a little bit older guy, there is a decent amount of college guys that are here. So, you know, pretty familiar with exactly what they're looking for.
Getting a little bit into the nitty gritty also, especially last year in Tampa when you're getting high school guys, college guys, a lot of just raw pitchers in general. They throw a bullpen. They throw in a game. What are you doing to evaluate them, see what they need to do different in order to make those adjustments? And more of a broad question, how do you make those adjustments as a pitching coach?
Yeah. No, I think, you know, definitely, especially at that level, it's a lot more about kind of developing stuff, right? Like, that's the basis of everything. You got to have good stuff. You know, you don't typically see very many big leaguers that don't have good stuff, you know? So I think for us, it's whether that's a pitch package, whether it's, you know, maybe just adding a pitch or whatever. So kind of just evaluating the whole, you know, and kind of seeing where you want to go with it from there. And I think at that level too, you're also looking at it from the standpoint of you got to let them get comfortable, because some of those guys, that's their first time playing professional baseball. So you don't want to jump in and do something too quickly, you know, because some of it could just be a little bit of anxiety or comfort or trying to impress. And the next thing you know, they settle in and probably didn't even need a change. So I think that's there. And then, you know, as they start to progress, you kind of just can see each guy needs a little bit different things. You know, you take a guy like Richard Fitz, who, you know, is going to fill up the strike zone right from the very beginning. That's just what he does. And he may give up a few more hits than other people. And so maybe you're working on some different things with him than maybe, you know, somebody else who has great stuff, doesn't give up very many hits, but you wish he threw a few more strikes. So maybe that practice plan looks a little bit different. So I think our job at that point is to try to individualize, you know, what does each guy need? If kind of come down to the bullpen, obviously you can kind of see each guy's outing or each guy's, you know, side session, whatever, is completely different, you know, just because of, you know, their individual needs and kind of what they're working on. And, you know, I think our job at that point is just to kind of peel the layers back and continue to figure out, you know, what is the most important thing for this guy in the current moment.
Over the last 5 years, pitching in general has just developed so much, whether that be pure stuff, velo, spin rate, and the Yankees organization in general has kind of mastered that. You look at the development of the sweeper, you look at the development of, you know, the dropping changeup that a lot of guys have now, the spin rate that a lot of guys have now. What makes the Yankees so good in that aspect, and yourself so good in that aspect in pitch development?
You know, I think it's just our willingness to continue to learn. You know, I think that's something that, you know, we do different here than maybe some other people. Just overall pitching in general, like you said, just whether it's here or somewhere else, like, it's just getting better and better. And in our mind, you just got to keep looking for the next thing, you know? And so one thing, again, going back to Sam, like, he doesn't allow us to get complacent. Doesn't allow us to be happy with, you know, maybe figuring out, you know, one thing better than somebody else. And, you know, I think that it's always looking for, like, what's the next thing, you know? And so for us, I think it's just that continuous, you know, learning, you know, our environment in spring training where all of us are in one room together, you know, for that month and a half is by the time you add pre-camp and everything in there, like that's the most powerful, call it 2 months that of the year, because there's a lot of really good minds in that room together that are bouncing ideas off each other and challenging each other, you know, to be better and how can we, you know, figure something out that maybe we didn't know before. And so honestly, I think that's probably where it starts. And like I said, you take Sam from the top and just the willingness to continue to learn. And, you know, even with him, like there's always something new that we're trying to learn and just see if we can come up with something to do something a little bit better.
And that's just in one room, in one organization. How much, if any, maybe collaboration or looking at what other organizations or teams are doing that maybe you guys can learn from or adapt to? Is there much of that? Because I know there's a lot of – it's a competition. You know, you're trying to get a leg up on everyone else. Is there very much of that kind of keeping tabs on what other organizations are maybe implementing or adapting to?
I definitely think that you keep your eye on what's happening. Now, obviously – there's so much of a secret, you know, everything in professional baseball is, it's so hush hush and there's so much, you know, non-disclosure stuff. But you know, you start to figure it out and, you know, whether our guys get traded somewhere else or we acquire guys or you pick up guys in free agency, I mean, it's impossible to keep everything in house. So you do start to figure something out and, you know, I mean, you can look at the teams that are having success and start to try to figure out maybe something that they might be doing slightly different or something that we might can add that maybe we didn't think of. And, you know, I think for that, for us is, you know, is it the main focus? No, but is it something that we want to be aware of? Yeah. Because I think it comes down to, you know, not necessarily worried about what other people are doing, but that pushing forward for us, like maybe there's something that's low hanging that we're able to add that, you know, we just didn't think about that, you know, might work better for us. Mm-hmm.
I want to dive into this pitching staff a little, and I'll start with this question. We've seen so many guys who were, you know, minor league free agents, Rule 5 draft picks, guys kind of coming out of nowhere, an indie ball signing last night on the mound in Gray Fenter. Has there been maybe, you could say, a few guys who are dark horses who have really impressed you this year, kind of coming under the radar?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Gray, obviously not the outing that he wanted last night, but I'll start with him. Like, you know, that's been a guy that's been a pretty solid mainstay for us, you know, throughout the year. And so, you know, I mean, you look at his slider, like we made an adjustment to the slider in spring training from a slider that he threw, you know, previously. And, you know, I don't know, again, after last night, I haven't looked, but at coming into that point, you know, that pitch in general was the highest miss rate pitch in Somerset history in the last three, since they became like with the Yankees. So, you know, that pitch in general has been electric for him. So I think he's been, you know, phenomenal, for us throughout the year and, you know, he's working on some things. And I think if you ask him, he would probably just tell you he feels like it's been okay. But you know, I definitely think he's been a solid mainstay for us, you know, and then I think you probably can go to the bullpen and just start kind of going through some guys, you know, Lisandro Santos, obviously acquire him in free agency, get him from the Braves. And, you know, to me, he's been electric. Maybe you take one or two outings away and like I tell the guys all the time, you cut on the TV and everybody has a bad outing, like that's going to happen. So he's been electric. I think he's been about as solid as anybody, you know, in the back end of our bullpen, you know. And then Alex Mauricio, I mean, I know he was hurt there for a little bit of a stint, but he's thrown some really big innings for us, you know, late in some ball games. And was actually looking at it this morning, you know, he's got two saves and a hold in the last three outings. So I mean, it's definitely been able to come in some high leverage situations. And, you know, we're definitely glad with what he's doing as well.
It seems like there's a lot of guys you guys are depending on in that back end of the bullpen. You mentioned Lisandro. You mentioned all the big spots that Mauricio's come in recently. What about a guy like Tanner Myatt? He's got a lot of big situations he's pitched in this year. It was really just the one blow-up outing in Erie. But outside of that, he's having about as good a season as anybody. And as someone that I think you've worked with him before, obviously, in spring training, how have you kind of seen him evolve over the course of this season in his development, specifically this year with Somerset?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Tanner worked extremely hard this offseason through spring training. You know, if you look at him, like, he's just such a demanding presence standing on the mound just in general. But the fastball's electric. You know, it's been as high as, you know, 98, 99 miles an hour before. But in addition of like a little bit better slider this year, new cutter that he added as well. So now it's not just like a fastball changeup mix or a fastball, you know, the slider and cutter were kind of blended last year. Now we're at like completely separate pitches. So, you know, it's a complete four pitch, you know, package now, and kind of tries to use different things with right-handers and left-handers. So, you know, if you look at, you know, some of his stuff overall, like this, the overall stuff's just better. So now I think at this point with him, it's trying to get him in some of those higher leverage situations, and kind of what I said earlier, like it's not always going to go right. And that's why we're here, right? That's why we go through the development process and, you know, learn from some of those things and learn how to navigate it. And, you know, you take the outing in Erie that, you know, I think you would ask him, he would love to have it back. And, you know, he walked a guy to start the inning last night, but you start to learn how to navigate those things when they happen. And the only way to learn from is just to get out there and, you know, get the reps and keep going.
I want to look at the starting side. And I mean, one guy, when you think of who've been the bulldogs of this staff, is Clayton Beter, and the numbers that he's put up have just been insane. And this is his first full season as a starting pitcher who's really being, you know, stretched out. Seeing him develop this year, he came over from the Dodgers. He'd only thrown 1 to 3 innings in all of his start slash relief appearances. How much has he developed into that bulldog starter role?
You know, I think the thing with Clayton so far has just been really just consistency. You know, like you said, like he goes out and, you know, for the most part, you're getting, you know, 5+ almost every time that he goes out there. I think maybe one outing he didn't give us that, but outside of that, everything else has been that plus. And, you know, kind of jokingly, like, I think he's like, all right, like, I can go 100 every night, you know, that I go out there. So, you know, I feel like with him, it's, I don't even think the like, starting, you know, being new to starting again and getting length, I think that's kind of now in the rearview mirror. Now he's just done it enough. But I think with him, it's just exactly what you said. Like, it is a bulldog mentality. It is, you know, kind of taking the ball, you know, every go in his turn, and, you know, wants it as much as possible, basically, and then wants to stay out there as long as possible. And, you know, I don't know if you guys can tell from up here, but always, like, even when he's like one batter, like he just wants one more batter every single time, you know. And so it's, you know, that's what you're looking for, though. And, you know, Raul and I talk about it all the time. Like, you don't want guys that just willingly hand you the ball when you go get it. Like, you want guys that want to stay. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. And I know I always tell Raul he gets the fun conversations because he's got to take them out of the game. So that's why I send him out there. But, no, I think he's, but going back to Clayton, I think he's just been, I think consistency is definitely the best word just to describe him throughout the season.
I want to ask about one guy who just joined the team last week. We've seen him only once this year, and that's Yoendris Gomez. And we saw him at the end of last year and started a no-hitter, actually, in Hartford. Just been a really impressive guy to see in the limited time we have. How much have you worked with him, and what can we, again, as we see him a little bit more, unleashing the reins a little bit, what can we see out of him this year?
You need to know Yogo is electric. That's what you need to know. that guy's electric. He is I worked with him a little bit in spring training. Graham Johnson, our AAA coach, and I kind of did a little bit with him back and forth, depending on whether he was on one side of the street or the other, basically. But, you know, just had an outstanding spring training, you know, made a couple of, you know, big league starts there as well. And the stuff is electric. But what you need to know about him first off is he's an outstanding human being. That's the first part. And the work ethic is phenomenal. Kind of had a few, you know, bad luck, just like nagging injuries, not even anything recently that was like big, but, so happy to see him back here and kind of, you know, getting into some things. But he is, he's definitely going to be somebody that people want to keep an eye on, and you know, sky's the limit for him. We're going to play it safe, for a little while just to, you know, get him built up, but then, you know, can't wait to see him kind of take the reins off and go.
Two more guys I wanted to ask about. They joined us just this week, and that's Edgar Barkley and Danny Watson, because you just look at our bullpen. I was having this conversation with you for a few weeks ago, too. We've had a lot of guys making a lot of appearances just because of the need for that, but you add a couple more guys like that, and they looked really impressive when they pitched earlier this week versus Portland. Just thinking about the two of them specifically, what do they bring to the table from your perspective?
Yeah, it's nice to have a full staff here, you know, now at this point. But I think with Edgar was probably slotted to be in our rotation, you know, coming out of spring training, and then, you know, had the unfortunate, you know, slight injury, you know, nothing major with the elbow. It just caused him to miss some time from throwing. And so just had to build him back up to this point and, you know, do it safely. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, you don't want to rush anything. So we'll probably start to build him back up. I don't know. We haven't really decided yet whether we're going to try to get him back into the rotation right now or just kind of like slowly build him up through the bullpen. But, you know, definitely somebody that increased velocity. You saw that a little bit the other day. Like, velocity was up from last year slightly. The changeup's always been the plus-plus pitch. You probably could see three changeups right away when we came into the game. So that's always been the pitch. And then, you know, new slider this year, trying to get that going a little bit more. Got a strikeout on it the other day. So, you know, I'm looking forward to huge things from Egger. And, you know, I think he kind of came into the prospect rankings a little bit as well. And, you know, I definitely think he's somebody that people are keeping an eye on and, you know, looking forward to seeing him. And, you know, Danny, I actually had Danny all season last year in Tampa. So, very familiar with Danny. Danny worked extremely hard in the off season. And then Preston Claiborne did an outstanding job with him in Hudson Valley. And just seeing him fill the zone up the other day, it's kind of just what he's done. You know, he's dominated left-handers, which is something he needed to get better at, and he's done that all year. Actually walked his first lefty the other day. That was the first one of the year. And so that's been a great for him to see. Now I think it's just him just settling into, you know, a little bit better hitters and actually executing probably just a touch more because the hitters, you know, don't give you quite as much here as maybe you get at some lower levels. And that'll be all the way up, you know, as you continue to go up levels, hitters continue to get better. And so for him, it's just kind of settling in and doing what he's done all year.
And the last starter I want to ask you about is a guy, a fellow Alabama native, a guy who you had for a lot of the year last year in Tampa. He went to Hudson Valley and put up six of the best starts in minor league baseball at the end of the season. Getting the opening day start, he's dominated. How much has Richard Fitz impressed you since you've had him starting last year?
Yeah, I've known Richard for a while now. You know, obviously, from afar to begin with, knew his brother, but then played against him in college. So, you know, all the way through now working with him last year and then obviously here. But, you know, the thing about him is he just keeps getting better. You know, that's been the biggest thing with him. And, you know, again, when I talk about makeup and outstanding human being, like, that's definitely one of them as well. But, you know, it's a little bit different than some. Like I said, sometimes he just throws so many strikes that you're just going to give up a few extra hits. Like, and so I think the thing to know with him, it's like, he just continues to get better. He's kind of tweaked some things with his pitch package and we continue to work through some different things. And, you know, I think you're just going to see him just continue to keep getting better, you know, outing after outing. Velo's up a little over a mile per hour this year compared to where it was last year. You know, when he was in the bullpen for the one outing in big league spring training, velocity was up to 98 miles per hour. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, overall with him, like, I think if you ask him, he would say it's been okay so far. You know, I think we call it the Richard Fitz luck. Like, he gives up a lot of, like, just, you know, bloop singles or weak contact hits. And so that's why, you know, you can't always just look at, like, the traditional stats with everybody because they're not all created equal. And so I think with him, it's just kind of that process of just like knowing what we're trying to do. What are we working on each time you go out there? And, you know, I think he's been phenomenal so far.
I think that's so interesting to hear about the background of how you saw him pitch in high school and in college. Do you remember, like, is there a time when you remember when you first met him or, like, when you first came to the Yankees, did you remember, oh, yeah, Richard Fitz is with the Yankees? You know, was there a kind of a moment where you're like, I know this guy?
He pitched against us when I was at Lipscomb. We were playing Auburn, and short story, we were supposed to go to Auburn, and they were going to get like 3 inches of rain, so they decided to come to Nashville and play, and we were actually winning late in the game, and they brought Richard in, and they had just hit a home run, I think, to take a one-run lead. They brought Richard in. He was coming back from his injury, so they were kind of using him like to build up in the midweeks as well on the weekend to try to build pitch count. And so they bring this guy in out of the bullpen, and I'm like, oh, okay, like that's Trevor's brother. And so then he comes in, and he was sitting like 95, 96, maybe didn't even touch a 97, and we end up losing by a run or two, but we didn't score off of him. And I was like, holy cow, that guy's pretty good, you know. And so then as took this job, started looking at some things with the draft picks, and was like, all right, I remember that guy. And so I remember telling Ben Buck, you know, one of our coordinators, like, I don't know what you guys got on this guy, but I'm just telling you, that guy's nasty, you know. And so from that point forward, just I'll always remember when he pitched against us at Lipscomb, and that was kind of just when the first time I started, like, paying attention to who this guy was.
Well, it's been fun to watch the entire staff from up here in the booth all season long. Thanks for joining us, spending some time here, and I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, and hopefully we can do it again later on.
Such an awesome conversation with Grayson Crawford. Really great insight about this year's team and, you know, his journey in baseball, and just such a great pitching mind. And we talked a lot about the player development within the Yankees organization and the philosophies from the top down from guys like the director of pitching and Sam Breen. And again, Eli, just really great insight and just such a great guy to talk to, and learned a lot in that conversation, and it'll be the first of many this year with Grayson.
It will indeed, and it was so fun to talk to Grayson about so many of those nitpicky things about pitching, pitch development, and just the development over the last few years of this new generation that includes, you know, those disgusting sliders and the sweepers, the fastballs with the crazy spin rate, and getting to pick his brain on so many of these great pitchers in Somerset. And I think in a few years, we're going to look at this Patriot staff this year. You even look like a guy in Will Warren who's already been promoted, Clayton Beter, Richard Fitz, so many guys that have come up and dominated in the bullpen. This is going to be a special group, and Grayson Crawford has led them so far.
It's going to be a special group. That much we can tell about this entire team as a whole. Again, contending for another first half championship. It's going to be an exciting and probably exhilarating month of June, as last year was. Remember the walk-off home run that sealed a first half championship for the Patriots, and that wound up with them winning the Eastern League championship when it was all said and done. So before we go, a little preview of what is to come here at TD Bank Ballpark. Patriots, as you're listening right now, are probably on the road for six games in Hartford, and then the only two-week homestand of the season rounds out the month of June and the first half. Six games against the Pirates-affiliated Altoona Curve, and then six more games at home versus the Blue Jays-affiliated New Hampshire Fisher Cats. And a lot of really exciting promotions and giveaways, beach balls, back-to-back firework shows, T-shirt giveaways, Bark in the Park, baseball giveaway. It is going to be an action-backed two-week homestand from June 13th through June 25th, and you will not want to miss it. Get your tickets at SomersetPatriots.com. Pick the night that works best for you. It's going to be a really exciting summer at TD Bank Ballpark, and it all starts with some competitive baseball and a really fun atmosphere on a nightly basis here in Bridgewater Township. Good stuff from Grayson Crawford. Once again, a big thanks to him for being our featured guest this week, and also a great conversation about some of our new members of the Patriots here as we start the month of June. For Eli Fishman, I'm Stephen Cusimano saying so long. Once again, thank you all so much for tuning in, as this has been the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast.